Indra. So, obviously, the residents of Vrindavan, they are fully realized, blissful devotees of the Lord, and everything is happening here for the purpose of fulfilling this pastime, and so Krishna can teach this highest principle of religion, which is to focus all your worship on the Supreme Lord and follow his instructions. This is instruction number one. Follow the instructions of the Lord and worship him. And there is no need to go through any other system. There is no need to appease the demigods. Give them respect, but there is no need to solely focus on the demigod worship. Lord Krishna gives nice examples of these instructions as well in Bhagavad Gita, and I'll give you a couple of verses here. From chapter 9, for example, there's a nice verse. Krishna says in chapter 9, verse 16, Aham kratur aham yagyaha. I'll just read the first line. But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. And in another verse, verse 19, he also says, Krishna tells Arjuna that I give heat, O Arjuna, and I withhold and send forth the rain. So we can see that this is the main principle of religion, to recognize the Lord as the sole provider of all our necessities. And that's what Krishna would like to accomplish by enacting this pastime. One of the reasons is that he will encourage people and instruct people to just worship the Lord and just follow his instruction. There's another nice verse in Bhagavad Gita, verse 9 from chapter 3. It says that Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Yagyartat karmano nyatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. And therefore perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction. And in this way you remain free from bondage. So these are some of the nice verses that kind of give an idea, confirm what Lord Krishna would like to teach here by enacting this pastime. And what is he teaching Indra? Indra got a little bit full of himself, and Lord Krishna is reminding Indra the true state of universal affairs. He put him back in his place. He humbled Indra. So what can we learn from this pastime? I'd like to focus on Lord Indra here, and we know that Indra is a great, great manager for Krishna, and he's in charge of the rain, king of heaven, very high post. So in this class, I'd like to focus on different levels of work and detachment from it. It doesn't matter if you're Lord Indra or work as a clerk in some office. If you are deluded and by your ego, you think yourself this only doer and get a little bit proud, then you are in trouble. Just like Indra got in trouble as you're reading these interesting chapters. Sometimes we think or we get we kind of get deluded, and we stop being mindful and aware of Lord Krishna's presence and authority, and we think that things, we take it for granted. Everything was automatically by our own endeavor, and we forget to give Krishna credit. We forget him. We are in a hurry. We trust, I'll give you an example. For example, you get up in the morning, take a shower, put on your clothes, and you jump in the car, and then you go to the gas station, fill your tank, get some gas, and then you drive to work. You know, you remember how to get to work. Even if there's a traffic jam or some construction, you have your GPS, and you know that you're gonna get to work. We trust ourselves. We trust the technology, the devices that we have, and this kind of has a tendency to delude us, put us into delusion and false trust in ourselves and the things we own, the technology. But sometimes God reminds us. We think things get done automatically in a predictable way, but we lose sight of things. So the Lord Krishna reminds us sometimes. He puts things out of our control a little bit. For example, you go to a gas station and it sometimes happens. There's no gas, and you have to drive to another gas station, or you get a flat tire, and then you get a delay. And sometimes, you get into traffic jam or some road construction, and your GPS tells you to go that way, and then you go that way, but the GPS sometimes misleads you for whatever reason. Sometimes things fail, and then we get frustrated, or we get reminded ourselves that yes, indeed, things work to a point automatically, but ultimately Krishna is in charge, and he can adjust things as he fits, as he wants to remind us about his presence, that he is actually in charge, not the material modes of nature, not ourselves, not the demigods. He's the soul, manager, proprietor, the father, the controller. In this lecture, once again, I'd like to go over different levels of work and detachment from it, and how we can become more mindful of where we're at in our devotional service, to avoid false ego and false thinking that we are in control. And we go over levels where you're actually not a devotee yet. So this class may be applicable to those who are, just getting on the path of spiritual life, or not even spiritualists at all. So it may kind of give you a broader perspective of where we're at. I was watching with my kids the other day this one cartoon, Kung Fu Panda. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but kids watch it these days maybe. So we watched part one, part two next week, there are some different types of animals, and they practice Kung Fu, right? This Chinese martial arts. So there was one little funny part of it where the panda, the 2B warrior, watches the fantastic performance of the students. And the master is watching, the Kung Fu master, and the students, the animals, are performing Kung Fu, and this 2B wannabe Kung Fu warrior, he's watching, and then he's about to be admitted to the school. So at the end of this performance by the students, Kung Fu performance, he's very much amazed and awe and reverence of all this sophisticated art of Kung Fu. And the master is asking this panda, the wannabe warrior, he says, "Oh, would you like to join?" And he says, the panda answers with much hesitation, "Yes, but is there a level zero that I can start at?" Because he had no idea whatsoever about Kung Fu, and he was supposed to be the dragon warrior, predicted to be protecting, China from the evil forces and protecting Kung Fu. So he's very much amazed by the performance of the students, and he himself doesn't feel qualified. He says, "Is there level zero?" So similarly, we sometimes ask ourselves, where are we in our level of devotional service. We watch all these, we read about the pure devotees and you know, their great pastimes and how full of love they are for Krishna, what kind of sacrifices they can do for Krishna. Even, you know, our very own Srila Prabhupada, what he has done for Lord Krishna, all these sacrifices full of love for his spiritual master. So sometimes, you know, we ask ourselves, you know, where are we? Are we at level zero? You know, can we ever get to where the pure devotees are? So obviously devotees don't start at level zero, but I'll give you a little yoga letter here from even before we become a devotees. There are some levels of consciousness that you know, make us either, you know, stay away from spiritual life or make us inquire into that and search for spiritual life. So the first level that I'd like to briefly discuss is level zero, where actually that's refers to people who are completely not interested in spiritual life, in the mode of ignorance. You know, the three modes of nature are there: Rajaguna, Tamaguna, and Sattvaguna. So most people in the mode of ignorance may not be interested in spiritual life. They're just interested in, you know, meeting the needs of the body, eating, sleeping, and surviving, and happy with surviving and providing for the family and existing in the world. They're not interested in any sort of spiritual instructions or scriptures. And they have no concern over what will happen, you know, after that, after you leave this world, or if there's anything after. So that's level zero. Now, level one is for those who are not necessarily interested in any type of spiritual pursuit, but they are ready to undergo some discipline and some to achieve something great. You know, once again, they are not connected with any type of spiritual tradition, not really interested in what happens in life, you know, after you pass away from this world, whether there's a God or not. They don't care. They just want to undergo some, whatever it takes to achieve their goal. You know, many people, you may call them, you know, celebrities, or, you know, they have charisma, they have discipline, but they may not be really interested in spiritual life. So they are a little bit higher on this ladder of consciousness. They are disciplined, and they can do a lot of work. They're not lazy in that respect. So level one is there, and then there's level three. Level three, technically, this may be called karma kanda. And just as a side note, I kind of get this gradations of consciousness from Burijana's, His Grace Burijan Prabhu's book, Surrender Unto Me. There's some nice delineation of different levels of work, you know, karma yoga and bhakti yoga. So level three is karma kanda. Those who follow the scriptures, but they're only following the scriptures just to get some material benefit and go to heaven so they can enjoy the senses more. So they're basically transacting business with the Lord, or, you know, with the demigods. Basically, actually focusing on the demigod worship, because the demigods will give you the results quicker. You know, you perform some sacrifice, some pujas, and you'll be able to quickly receive material benefits to satisfy your senses in this life and the next. So there's respect for the maybe demigods, and you know, they are in charge. So all the sacrifices are performed, and you can receive your award. So these people, even though they're not interested in advancing spiritually and serving the Lord with devotion, they are nevertheless getting purified, because they contact the scriptures and then follow the scriptures which are ultimately given by the Lord at different levels. There are scriptures that describe high spiritual levels of consciousness and how to develop them, and there are scriptures for those who are not so much interested in elevating their consciousness. They just want to enjoy the senses so they can work at that level. But the good thing is that they follow the scriptures, and even without the desire to serve the Lord, they just want to get their award and material senses satisfied, and in this way follow the scriptures at that level. So once again, that is karmakanda. Automatically, these individuals get purified. So they generating this pious credit, and eventually they will become pious people to the point that they will be interested in spiritual consciousness and serving God. Bhagavad Gita describes the next level, which is level 4, which is 4 pious mahatmas, 4 pious people who, 4 pious individuals who approach God with still materially motivated, but they are willing to perform some service to God and not necessarily to the demigods. That's chapter 7, I believe. 7, verse 16. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, describes as level 4, Chaturvidha bhajantemam janah sukritino arjuna arto jigyasur artharti gyanicha bharatara shabha. So the 4 kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the absolute truth. So this is a more elevated level, because these individuals are motivated by desires still, material desires. They approach God. They choose to approach God and perform some service. I was fortunate enough myself to, when I was joining Krishna consciousness, I was really distressed by material arrangements and material nature, and I was really like, you know, crying out to God, oh, you know, I'm really in trouble, please help me out, please help me out. I don't like to suffer like this. So by the devotees' grace, by Srila Prabhupada and his servants, I was able to come in touch with this great spiritual movement. So this is a level 4. Once again, you are still motivated by, there are still material desires in your heart. You want to decrease your pain, material pain. You want to desire some wealth, some material well-being. Or you're just curious, you know, you're really curious about God. You just want to learn more about God as well. So that's another level. It is described that this 4th person is the best of the pious men, because he's looking for knowledge of the absolute truth, and he's not necessarily motivated by mitigating, alleviating the material distress or getting more wealth. He's not even just curious. You know, some people are very curious. You know, oh, you know what? Let me just check out what this Krishna consciousness is all about. But there are also some people who are really searching for knowledge of God, and they are, as His Grace Burijan Prabhu says in his book, they are without material desires so much, you know. So they're slightly elevated. So we go over this level 4 a little bit and move on to level 5 and 6. Let me give you an example here. I'll give you an example, myself as an example. I perform different types of karma yoga, you know, different types of work that I perform to maintain my family, pay my bills, you know, and give donation to the temple. But I am still motivated by material desires. You know, I like my type of work. You know, I work as a fitness coach. I like to make good money. I like, you know, I'm materially motivated, and I would not like to do a different type of work. You know, I would not like to be a bank, manager, or I would not like to work as a gardener. You know, I know what I like, and I'm motivated by the type of work I do, and I'm happy to give some results of that work to God. And I'm very happy, you know. I thank God for letting me do that type of work, but I'm still attached to the type of work I do. So this level goes into the next level, which is technically called, Burijan Prabhu describes it as Sakama Karma Yoga, where you're motivated by the type of work, and you may still be even attached to the results. You may give Krishna some part of your results, like some donation, or, you know, sponsor something, but you still want to keep a lot of it to, you know, take care of your needs and maybe save some money. So there's attachment to both the type of work and the results. Now, there's a little transition upward, level 5, which is called more Nishkama Karma Yoga, where you are not so much attached to the result. You may still be attached to the type of work, but less and less, but not so much to the result. I can give you some example, like some devotees may sometimes ask for a certain type of service. You know, they say, oh, okay, please don't make me work in the kitchen, but I will go on Sankirtan, or I will give a class, but I will not be doing, I cannot work in the kitchen. I'm not qualified, and I'm not really into cooking so much. It's not my strength. So they still have those preferences as to what type of service they would like to do for Krishna. But the results they freely give to Krishna, like, you know, whatever the results Krishna will give me by performance of this work, I'm okay, you know. I'll just give you myself as an example again. No, I like giving classes, you know, after so many times, you know, giving so many classes, I begin to like it now. and then once again, the results, you know, whether one person listens or 50 people listen, I'm not so much concerned. I just want to give the class, and hopefully some devotees will benefit. But I'm still attached to the type of work. You know, I would rather do the class and then work in the kitchen. But then there is the higher level, where you happily perform your service to Krishna, and you do not really care what type of work you do. You know, temple president may ask you, okay, can you sweep the floor? Can you give lecture? Or can you go on Sankirtan today? Can you make flower garlands? And this devotee is happy and willing to perform any type of service. That is a very high level of consciousness. No, we can call it more technically Bhakti Yoga, because these are activities directly that you would be performing in the spiritual sky, you know, cooking for Krishna, you know, talking about Krishna, singing about Krishna. But then once again, there is this external aspect, because we're in this world, you're performing some activities, you know, like working outside, and technically you can still perform your work. Let's say you manage some money, or, you know, you work as a car mechanic. You can technically still perform this work with love for Krishna. But these are technically not Bhakti Yoga activities, but you're just ended up doing this type of work, and the true measure of whether it's Bhakti Yoga or you know, Sakama Karma Yoga or Nishkama Karma Yoga is your consciousness, how much you're thinking about Krishna when doing that type of work. How much of the results are you giving to Krishna? So as you can see, there are different levels of this karma yoga, which ultimately culminates in pure bhakti yoga. So just to give a little review, you may be attached to the type of work you do and the results of the work. And then you try to give some of the results of that work to Krishna. And then you may be attached only to the type of work you do, but not really to the results. And you can give all the results to Krishna. Whatever he wants to do with the result is fine. And then still a higher level is to be not attached to any type of work. Just do anything Krishna or Krishna's servant asks you to do. So no, neither the work nor the result of work you're not attached to either one of them. So these are some of the levels of karma yoga that I wanted to discuss today. Let's see. The idea is to, as you elevate your consciousness and perform your service to Krishna wholeheartedly, is to get out of your comfort zone and start performing services that really, your spiritual master or the temple president or Krishna wants you to do. Get out of your comfort zone and perform anything for Krishna with love. Now, when you perform different types of services to Krishna, you should remember. Some points you should remember, like trying to remember Krishna from moment to moment as you're doing your activities. Obviously, some of our jobs will be really technical, like some devotees work in the computer field, so they have to do programming. So it's I think it's impossible to think about Krishna and be programming at the same time. Depending on the nature of your work, as I was doing the outline for this class, I was, trying to find different verses and trying to give different examples. So I was thinking about the cartoons that I watch with my kids, Kung Fu Panda. So at moments, I was not really thinking about Krishna, but at the end and in between, I was bringing it back, thinking about Krishna. Okay. So I did 15 minutes of work. Thank you, Krishna, for letting me do this work. Okay, let's get back into it, and then you're doing your job again. So our mind is such that it cannot focus on more than one thing at a time. And sometimes it looks like the mind is focusing on, you're doing like five things at once. I'm not really good at that, but, especially... Matajis are very good at multitasking. Men are usually not so good, and so it looks like you can manage a few things at once. But the idea is to have Krishna every moment, as often as you can. Think about Krishna, and you should also make sure you do your job right, because Krishna wants a good result. Why not? He wants you to do a good job. So. It is fine to just focus on the programming and whatever you have to do, but at the end, you want to make sure that at the end you offer the result of your service to Krishna. And if results do come, if they don't come, it's fine. Don't be upset. And then if they do come, do not be proud. So Krishna gives one nice example that he is in charge of the results. That in chapter 2, wasn't it like verse 47? Yes. And he says, Karmani evadhira evadhi karaste mat paleshu kadachana mat karma pala hetur bur matte sangast ka karmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So don't be lazy, but when, once you get busy and you do your job for Krishna, don't be frustrated when the results don't come, and also do not take credit when the results do come. Sometimes you get a lot of results and you're like happy, oh wow, I did a great job, and we tend to be a little bit deluded. Yes, I practice hard, I got some results, I'm good, and you're kind of expecting maybe some people to give you some some positive feedback, you know. So you get a little bit deluded at that point, and you become a little bit like a little mini Indra, and, you know, about to be, you know, put back in your place by Krishna, slapped by Krishna again. I'll give you one little, since we have a little time, I'll give you a little, hopefully a funny story to you, that shows how the ego can get in the way and kind of spoil everything. So as usual, my story is usually has to do with martial arts, you know. So I remember a long time ago, the karate school that I was going to was putting on a karate show. You know, it was I think it was some holiday. It was some Polish Independence Day or something. And our school was supposed to go out there and perform different types of jumping kicks and spinning kicks and breaking boards and you name it. So I was at that point, I was really one of the beginner level students, you know, level one, level zero, and then there were students who were much higher, you know, yellow belts or brown belts or even black belts, and then the master was obviously the highest rank. And so we were putting on this show, and it was supposed to be kicking, punching, and breaking boards, but then also, somehow, the master watched me on break time, you know, when at my leisure, I had some nunchuck sticks, you know, like the plastic ones, and I was swinging the nunchuck sticks. So he made a note that I know how to swing the nunchuck sticks. The nunchuck sticks are like two wooden or plastic, or sometimes covered with foam, two sticks, you know, 1 foot long each, foot and a half, and then connected by a chain. So it's used in traditional China as a weapon. So it happened to be one of the arts, part of the Chinese Kung Fu, to be able to defend yourself with the nunchuck sticks. So it was not even part of the style that I practiced, but somehow the master saw that I know how to do it. So he asked me, can you do this for this show, you know, maybe you can do some swing the, you know, the nunchuck stick, so it's going to be spectacular. So I was like, oh wow, great, you know, I will try, you know. And I was not any good at the nunchucks. I just knew like one or two swings, you know, and I knew them well, but I didn't know how to do other things. I just knew the AB, you know. Sometimes you know, devotees know some tunes on harmonium, you know. They're not really maybe musicians, like, you know, I'm not a musician, but I know like one or two tunes on the harmonium, you know, and I sometimes, someone may say, you know, you're good, but you only know two tunes, so you're not a musician, you're not great. So the nunchuck sticks were like that, you know. I just knew like two or three moves, and the master said, you can do it. I says, okay, I will, you know. I was excited, and I was like, feel a little bit proud, because the master, put me, you know, in front of the crowd a little bit, and he, there are other students who are much higher. So my part was to do it at the beginning or somewhere in the beginning of the show, and then they would do their board breaking and other things. And we were practicing, okay, in our school, the movements, and then and I was swinging the nunchucks, and they were practicing the kicks, and the master was checking how everyone is doing for the show, you know, so we perform well. And then at one point, the master was giving instructions to a student nearby, and I was swinging my nunchuck sticks. And somehow, I misjudged the distance between me and the master, and the master was giving instructions, and he looked at me also, and I was swinging the nunchuck sticks, and I hit the master in the head with the nunchuck sticks. And I froze, and I was like, you know, and the room became quiet, you know. And then I said something like, sorry. And he come closer, and he like looked at me, says, you know, maybe it's a good idea we will not do this nunchuck sticks for the show. Maybe we will not include it in the show. And I was, devastated, you know. because I got a little bit proud. And now, without the nunchuck stick show, I would be just a regular, you know, student, just punching and kicking, and the master will break the boards, and he will do spinning kicks and jumping kicks, and I will be just doing the simple punch or just screaming, you know, ha, you know, ha. So I was put back in my place. So my problem was that I didn't listen to the instructions. I was absorbed into my own practice. I misjudged the distance between me and the master. I was proud. I thought I was better than other students in a way, and I got put back in my place. So these things happen. You know, it happens everywhere. It happens in devotional service as well. We have to be so cautious and mindful of how our consciousness and thoughts work, and how we feel from moment to moment about why we're doing what we're doing for Lord Krishna. Are we doing it for Krishna? Are we doing it for the spiritual master? Are we doing it to get a little bit of satisfaction and get some results, to get positive feedback? Why are we doing what we're doing? So this is the conclusion. The conclusion for this is that, you know, as we go about our doing our duties, and we represent this ISKCON movement, whatever duties we perform for the movement, for the family, we should always try to remember Lord Krishna and be ready, whether the results come or not. If the results come, great. And we have to be ready to give it back to Lord Krishna at any time. Doesn't matter if it's great results or meager results. You have to give it back to him and be prepared, because he's in charge of everything. Your work, your ability to work, and the results of your work. Thank you for your attention, and I hope I didn't confuse you by explaining those different levels of yoga. Thank you very much. Any questions? I'll be very happy to try to answer. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.